Welcome to the Serviced Accommodation Property Podcast. This podcast by Kevin Paneskis, also known as the Property Soldier, covers all aspects of serviced accommodation and how to make it a profitable and sustainable business. Kevin started investing in property in 1991 whilst serving in the British Army and now owns a multi-million pound property portfolio and serviced accommodation business and is a best-selling author. And now your host, Kevin Paneskis.
Okay, so welcome everybody. We have got a really great speaker for you, the keynote speaker for this Mastermind, SA Mastermind session. And our speaker today is Ben Brand, also known as Ben the Brand. Okay, quite a good surname there to be utilizing for social media. But I think it's really important that you pay attention throughout this presentation because Ben has got an awful lot of recent, current information to share with you. And what's really impressive about Ben's journey that he's about to share is that he was literally where some of you are now 10 months ago. So Ben came and did the training here at Progressive, the service accommodation training, the initial training, went straight on to the Mastermind program, as you guys are. And that was 10 months ago when he started that process off. And he is now on 50 plus serviced accommodation units. And obviously, for those of you, you know, listening to this now, you will know that that means he's done it throughout the lockdown, throughout a period where an awful lot of people thought, oh, SA can't work, SA doesn't work, etc., etc. Well, it does work as long as you are doing the right things and you know how to pivot and you can take advice from people who are qualified to give you advice. All of those good things. He has been able to pivot and adapt and make the most of this opportunity that is service accommodation. So I want you to give a massive round of applause for our next speaker, Ben. So without any further ado, can I have a big round of applause for Ben Brand? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much to you all for being here today, and thank you for Kevin for kindly inviting me to present today. So yeah, my name is Ben Brand, and as Kevin said, I was sat where you were sort of 10 months ago and sort of for a few months after just starting to get into serviced accommodation. But it feels very good to be back here actually, because obviously with lockdown, sadly events weren't occurring, and I sort of, in many regards for the last few months, have missed my regular monthly pilgrimages up here, because it's, yeah, a place that personally means a lot to me, because genuinely for me it sort of changed my life. And so yeah, I actually always enjoy being up here because it's a great place. So just move on then. So cheesy picture of me to start with slightly longer lockdown hair. The wife's had a few words and I've sorted that out. So I just thought I'd talk about myself. I sort of indulge sort of the story of myself before, and then we'll talk about service accommodation. So in terms of who I am, I originally grew up in Hampshire back in the day. I was an odd child, and as you'll probably sort of get to appreciate during the course of this presentation, I've gotten quite a bit worse. When I was younger, I did pretty well at school, but I'll be honest, I kind of lost my way, went to college, went to university, and I couldn't really find a purpose. I suppose I was in some regards quite a typical millennial. I thought the world owed me something, and that was that. But I'd always had a bit of a desire when I was a lot younger to join the military, and so after doing a few jobs, I actually joined the army age 21 and actually found to begin with sort of a bit of a purpose. Initially, I joined the infantry, and after about 3 years of sort of sleeping in ditches and getting shouted at lots, I thought actually there might be something else to do. So I transferred to the intelligence corps, where you didn't get shouted at quite as much. That picture up there is actually me in Afghanistan with Miami Dolphin cheerleaders, sort of war is hell and all that. And yeah, sort of a really good experience in all fairness in the military. And I was there for about 12 years. Actually, highlights included working with Special Forces for a couple of years. And then for the final 5 years, I moved into cybersecurity because, massive disclaimer, I am a massive geek, which is a benefit in some ways, especially with serviced accommodation. So yeah, that was sort of my background really over the sort of 10 days.
So just to be clear,
oh, apologies, I think we're going to have to do questions at the end. Sorry. While I was in the army, though, I did get a family. I met my beautiful wife and got married. Also had my first daughter, Evelyn, and got a mortgage. And in many ways, I could have just stuck with that, in all fairness. Life goals complete and waited for retirement. However, life took a pretty significant different course. I sort of discovered property around age 33. I started to get itchy feet in the army. I still had half a career to go, another 12 years quite easily, but I suddenly started to feel that maybe I wasn't making the most of myself or opportunities. And while the army was a brilliant place, actually I started looking elsewhere. And I was quite lucky in the position that I was, that I thought maybe I could do cybersecurity outside the army. And that started to get the catalyst to thinking, you know what, I'm going to hand my notice in and try something else. However, when I sort of went down that route, suddenly I thought, you know what, let's have a look about and see what other opportunities are available. And I'm sure many of you have seen that book on the left there, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's almost a bit of a cliche in many regards, because I think this book has changed so many people's lives, but genuinely that was the case for me. There were some really basic concepts in there, but one of them that really got me was spending money on things that make money instead of just spending your money willy-nilly, which essentially is what I was doing. So I started getting into self-development, started looking at property, and yeah, started reading the right books and started listening to the right podcasts. And you might possibly notice the one on the right there. And that was probably my introduction to serviced accommodation, where I suddenly thought, you know what, this sounds like something I could get into. I quite like the automation, being a bit of a geek. I also saw it as a really disruptive sort of industry, and I thought, wow, I could actually potentially start something sort of with relatively low capital and experience. And yeah, things just started to click for me at that point. I started to change my mindset as well, because that's a huge part of this, because to sort of grow a business from scratch, etc., I realised how much time and myself I need to put into it, so I started getting up early. Started living my life instead of just existing, which is sort of how I felt actually looking back. I was sort of going through the motions quite happily. And yeah, I realised really that I needed to change if I wanted to change, because I've kind of been sort of sat in a life up to that point where things are okay, but actually I wanted to be a whole lot more. I started doing a lot more exercise, learning yoga, meditation, kind of weird things. Well, they're not weird in all fairness, but I, as a person 5 years ago, would have looked at myself now and gone, you weirdo hippie, why are you doing this other stuff? But actually, as I'll come on to in a bit, I think from a mindset point, a sort of large tipping point in my life is when I stopped caring as much what other people think. And that's actually sort of been a massive thing for me, because my life started improving when I stopped being as bothered what other people thought about me. And yeah, I started holding myself accountable, took on role models, got a grip on my finances, which weren't terrible, but I sort of started thinking, actually, if I start saving up money now and being more logical with what I have, I can sort of do better things. And realised I kind of determined what I was worth, actually. So I decided to get educated. I was sort of looking at sort of around and came across progressive property through one means or another, and I came up here to attend a free course. And the cheek of it, while I was here, they actually offered some other opportunities in terms of education. I really liked what I heard, and so I signed up for some courses. At the time, I just sort of got myself not out of a financial hole, but I just paid off a large amount of money that I owed and ended up putting some more money down. However, again, a bit of a cliche, I think actually I put myself in terms of good debt, bad debt, spending money on those courses was an invaluable investment. I mean, I personally spent a lot of my own money on sort of education prior to that, but obviously got nowhere near as much return. I also got a deadline and a goal. So when I attended my courses here last year, I sort of knew I was leaving the army. Now, I had an easy option at that stage to sort of put my CV out and go and get a cybersecurity job, etc. But I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to just 100% go for property. So I completely sidelined that and made sure that I was going to make property the main thing. And so, in fact, I burned my bridges. I didn't sort of put my CV out. I didn't sort of go for any job interviews. I sort of just went, that's what we're going to do. And I decided I was going to build a service accommodation business. And so when I got trained, I attended a lot of property courses about various different strategies, just to give myself a broad overview of what was available. And actually, I've gained a huge amount from them. But having done a lot of different strategies, service accommodation was the one that interested me at the beginning. And it was the one at the end that I was still fixated on. And so as a result, sort of continued to sort of really build there. And obviously, there's a picture there, actually, at the end of my mentorship time with Kevin, after 6 months, which was absolutely valuable with him and the team. I also got myself a business partner, so it's probably not the best picture in some regards, but that's Chris, my business partner, from when we were a bit younger and a bit less sensible. That was a really massive thing for me. When I sort of initially looked at getting service accommodation, I was considered doing it on my own. Actually, my business partner, sort of a chap I've known from the army for like over 9 years now, was somebody I really thought actually would be an ideal person to work with. And yeah, but actually having him to lean on over the last 10 months and sort of work with has been absolutely invaluable. In no way, shape or form would I be anywhere near as far along had I just been trying to work on my own. Once I sort of informed him, because it was partly his choice, partly not, that he was going to be my business partner, he had a job at the time, we sort of decided to go into business together in Newport, South Wales, doing SA. I'll be honest, it took us about a week to come up with our company name, which is StayBC, which is quite embarrassing, just because we may be perfectionists or whatnot, but we kind of got there in the end, we were quite happy with it. And both being sort of analysts in terms of background, we did quite a lot of due diligence in terms of where we wanted to invest, using a lot of the training that I'd had, etc. And we looked at some bigger cities nearby, sort of Bristol, Cardiff, areas that had quite big, well-developed service accommodation industries. And for me, the numbers just didn't quite work. And I thought, you know what, let's start in Newport. It's not the prettiest city in the world for any of you that haven't been. But actually, we sort of saw that as an advantage because there weren't many people doing service accommodation there. And we thought, there's enough people there. There's enough key underlying levers. So let's have a little bit of a punt. Let's go somewhere new and see if we can build a business. And actually, that massively helped us, both when we started and afterwards, just finding a bit of a niche, I think. And so we went and looked to get our first unit. So November 1st, 2019, we obtained our first unit through a letting agent, a rent-to-service accommodation, which was, we were obviously, as you can imagine, over the moon about. It was a lovely three-bedroom house. And being just the two of us, myself kind of available most of the time, my business partner part-time, we did all of it ourselves. We took us 3 weeks to set it up. We spent evenings driving around finding Facebook marketplace items, spending like 4 hours getting one toaster, all these other kind of things which absolutely do not scale whatsoever at all, but we learned a lot. And we ended up with sort of quite a good product. However, as sort of we probably mentioned a few times before, we ended up putting pictures of giraffes everywhere because we have absolutely no taste, which kind of is what it is. But we've learned a lot about design in time. And yeah, once we got it going, sort of we ended up putting it on Airbnb and the other platforms, and we waited with essentially bated breath. And we got guests. This stuff actually works. And that was quite a transformative day for all of us. All that training, all that time, all that sort of effort, and basically taking a bit of a risk actually sort of got us to where we were, in a really happy position. I think we got our first guests from memory were some Spanish solar panel engineers. So really good. We remember sort of doing the meet and greet, meeting them for the first time, so excited, showing us around their unit. And they just wanted us to leave, essentially. I mean, that's all they wanted, the keys, and for us to just to go. But yeah, really good sort of feeling. And obviously from then, we sort of realised this stuff works, let's give it a go. And so I got networking quite heavily. Now, I sort of attended a lot of events, but I also started putting a lot of stuff on social media, especially Facebook, just sort of promoting what I was doing, where I was going. Because I had some really good advice through the training I'd had saying, look, tell people what you do, because that will create opportunities. And I'm a massive believer in that and would probably advocate that to anyone, pretty much at whatever stage they are in business, service accommodation, full stop, that you should use all the opportunities you've got to network, both physically in person or online, if that's not an option. And so, yeah, in essence, as a result of all that sort of intentional networking, very quickly we got approached. We actually got approached before we had any units about service accommodation management, which I quite liked. So people were asking us to manage properties when we had nothing. And that sort of actually was quite a key catalyst for us, because up until that point, we'd just been considering doing rent to SA ourselves and building our portfolio up ourselves using our own finances. Whilst we were aware of management, we kind of assumed we'd have to be a bit bigger before we could get into that. But yeah, at the point where we had 2 to 3 units of our own, we started to take on management properties. And that's something that was allowed us to start scaling, because suddenly it went from needing all the capital to put down the first month's rent, etc., buy all the furniture, to essentially building a business using other people's money. In fact, just to sort of go one step further than that, clearly, we were able to charge people that we were managing for to set their properties up. So we were actually cash flowing just from setting properties up, as well as getting them on and then clearly taking a percentage from the top, and also delivering a great service and great return for the people that were investing with us. So pretty much a true win-win, and something I would sort of advocate to people that want to scale quickly is management can allow you to do that, because money, if you provide a good service, money and finding properties is not just becomes not a problem anymore. They will come to you. Then sort of from that stage, we also started being approached by deal sources. Once we had a few more properties under our belt, deal sources in the local area who were selling rent-to-service accommodation deals, but for people that didn't want to manage themselves, started approaching us going, can we put you in as the preferred management company? Because they're selling a whole package as opposed to just, here's a property, sort yourself out. And that then became a really sort of good pipeline for us, because suddenly we were at the point where we had people bringing us properties to manage for them, so quite consistently, which is really helpful. So that's, again, something I would say, in terms of scaling, working with local deal sources, finding them, telling them about what you do, and establishing good relationships can be particularly useful. Then things started to take off, basically, as a result of the management. We also started that time to start bringing on the sort of first members of staff. So we started with virtual assistants, which was amazing. Started to allow us to systemize, get a lot of tasks done, etc., and sort of expand. And between November to February, really, we sort of, that was our initial stages. And that whole time, we got three units. So it's 3 months to get three units. It was a sort of a bit of a slow build. But then suddenly, once the deal sourcing relationships and such kicked in, March in 1 month, we got 10 units. So suddenly scaled quite significantly. However, as I'm sure I don't have to tell any of you enough, then something quite significant happened. 10 units, and suddenly COVID-19 appeared on the scene. Quite a significant thing, clearly, and as you can imagine, quite a lot of swearing occurred and sort of doubts at that point with where the industry was going to go. But we knew we had to adapt. In fact, we weren't going to go down without a fight. We sort of saw a lot of operators quite quickly throw in the towel, etc. And for us, that was not an option. We kind of were committed to this and we were going to make it work, whatever happened. We had a fair few units, but we were taking on more, but we knew that we were going to have to rely on sort of direct marketing, but also find new plans and kind of guests. We had, fortunately, at that point already sort of developed direct marketing capability, just as simple as actually having a website people can put directly on. But we'd also already approached quite a lot of local organisations, be that the local council, local medical clinics, etc. And that kind of stood us in quite good stead. We'd also kind of already had a business quite orientated towards contractors and actual local businesses. And so as a result, in our area, we were quite quickly able to flip that model and the properties we had to targeting key workers, because a lot of people were still out working, or actually more in some regards, and we were able to sort of get in contact with them, look at the local construction projects that were ongoing. For example, in our area, there were some hospitals being constructed, and clearly when the pandemic sort of really ramped up, they in turn, lots more contractors were brought in to try and get these hospitals ready quicker. So we targeted those sites and actually started getting some contractors in for that. We also contacted the local council and were able to get them to take some of our properties on to sort of home rough sleepers and whatnot, which obviously was great because it was win-wins for everybody. We were providing a service, but still covering rents, etc. And for us at that point, because we were starting to manage quite a few properties, I really just wanted to protect the investors because they'd obviously put a lot of faith in us. And I wanted at a minimum really to be continuing to break even for them, because clearly it's quite a big responsibility that weighed on us. The other people that we kind of targeted were doctors and nurses that were transitioning around the country, and also people self-isolating. At this stage, we couldn't rely on Airbnb and Booking.com. Essentially, Booking.com completely shut their doors. Airbnb were very limited, and so we went completely geared towards direct bookings, which completely changed our model. And as I said, yeah, we just got on the phone. We didn't take no for an answer many times. The local councils are probably the best one for it. You ring them up, and probably the first two or three people you speak to, their job's essentially just to get you off the phone, or so it feels like it. But if you sort of push hard enough, you get through to the person that might actually sort of realise that you can help them. And so that was really important for us. And it was good old Cheesy Bear Grylls said on there, improvise, adapt and overcome, is something that we sort of took to heart and sort of thought, what are the other options and how can we make this work? And so, yeah, we entered sort of that period with 10 units, but we thought, you know what, let's double down. In my opinion, the assessment I made is, in many regards, things can't get much worse. And in life, there's never really much certainty. But I thought, if I'm going to sort of be a betting man here, if things can't get much worse, then at some point things will get better. And so I spoke to a lot of our investors and they were of a similar mind. Like, look, we can't predict when, but at some point the service accommodation market is going to come back with a bang. And there are many sort of indicators in our opinion that actually service accommodation is probably going to become the preferred method of sort of hospitality for many people who want areas to sort of move into isolate, etc. So during the sort of the core months of the sort of most significant months of lockdown, we went from 10 to 30 units as a result, 10 to 35 units during full lockdown, and yeah, waited for an SA bounce back. Fortunately, obviously, the pandemic sort of measures started to get lifted and people started to move back round again in South Wales and beyond. And where did that put us? Well, as it stands currently, we have got 50 plus service accommodation units in the areas you can sort of see on the left there. For the benefits of those listening into the podcast, we've got sort of what we operate now in Newport, Cardiff, Barry, Cambrian, Caldicot, Bristol and Bath. And we do have some unit and opportunities in Swansea soon. So we'll be invading Kevin's homeland soon for SA there, if he'll let us in. We've also brought quite a lot of our operations and whatnot in-house. So we've grown to the point now where we have a combination of full-time and part-time staff. We've just hit 30 in that regard. And so we do all of our housekeeping, all of our bookings, all of our maintenance, etc., in-house, which for us has been great because we've allowed us to sort of raise the quality bar, but also take a lot more stuff on as well. I think at the moment we actually have about 10 people dedicated just to taking properties on, just to sort of deal with the amount of properties we want to take on. On top of that, we have two commercial premises. Again, one of them is sort of our linen store/cleaning hub, and the other one's actually an office we now have sort of our booking team and such working out of, which is great because it's just allowed us to scale, because for as long as we could, we tried running the businesses from home and whatnot, but it just really wasn't tenable. We've also VAT registered now, which I actually sort of drew a big sort of bullseye on when we started the business. I didn't ever want to sort of dodge around and hide beneath the VAT black threshold. I wanted to smash straight through it. And despite the fact now life's a bit more complicated because of it, I'm actually quite proud that we managed to get to that quite quickly. And in terms of sort of sheer numbers, last 3 months, we turned over 150K, and 80K of that was in the last month. And all being well, SA is back. I'm sort of proud to announce. We've got a lot of happy hospitality guests staying with us now. And it's, yeah, a different market. Things have changed significantly, but touch lots of wood, things are going well. We also have a lot of investors we're working with. And that's another huge one, I think. Just sort of putting marketing yourself and trying to find investors can be really helpful to fuel your growth. And in terms of stuff we've got in the pipeline, we're working on apartment hotel deals. So there's sort of three big projects we're working on at the moment. I'm a big fan of sort of efficiency in many ways, shapes and form. And I think multiple units under one roof is a really sort of good model to build towards, because it just makes everything easier, it's cleaner. And if you've got the whole property, you're less likely to get angry neighbours if you control who the neighbours are, as it were. So I think it's a really interesting model, sort of apartment hotels or just blocks of apartments is a good way to sort of chunkily scale your business, and something I'm trying to focus on more now, instead of just going for the single units here, there and everywhere. And yeah, in short, I suppose, I've got sort of pretty big goals in mind. We plan to conquer the SA world, in short. So we're going to spread down the M4 towards London like a plague at some point, and then sort of maybe go up north and south as well. So yeah, I've got sort of big aspirations for where I want my business to go. And I've actually set myself the target that by November 1st this year, which will be a year essentially since we got our first unit, my actual plan is to have 100 units plus. So that, which if a couple of deals we've got in the pipeline come through now, we should hit. So yeah, that's my plan, to do 100 in a year. And yeah, so where am I now? Well, firstly, Kevin was kind enough to feature me in his excellent service accommodation book. So please check that out if you haven't read it already. Hoping to become a progressive property trainer, depending on how bad or good today goes, I'll find out about that. So fingers crossed. Featured on multiple podcasts where I've been able to sort of deliver my story to lovely people like yourselves. And yes, right now standing on the progressive stage, which is a really incredible, amazing thing. So thank you for the opportunity to do that. Starting new businesses. So I've got a couple of side businesses in mind that work quite well in tandem with our service accommodation business. One of them being a brokerage. So essentially finding service accommodation guests by directly marketing to them and then finding them places to stay, which if they're not our own, we can actually house them with other SA operators and take a commission. So that's sort of a side business we're building up at the moment. What I'm sort of proud to say is when I decided to get into service accommodation last year, one of my main goals at that point was just to sort of, by the time I left the army, be in a position where I could replace my own income. I mean, that was just the goal I had, like to get out and actually be in a position where I could still pay the mortgage, this, that and the other. Fortunately, we were in a position by May of this year, but I think 9th of May was my official last day in the army, where not only had I replaced my income, but I replaced my business partners and both our wives who work in the business. So we are very much a family business now. But yeah, we're basically through service accommodation in quite a short space of time. We were all able to leave our jobs to do something new, which in many ways isn't really a job for us. I think we're all quite similar in that we weren't quite happy with the positions we were in. And so yeah, just really grateful to the opportunity that service accommodation gave us. And I suppose, yeah, the other one, where am I now? I'm happy. That's probably the big one for me. I'm really content with life and excited. I sort of do a lot more hours now than I've done in any other job, but equally, it doesn't really feel like work. I sort of wake up in the morning, I'll instantly jump on the computer and start doing this, that and the other and work until late at night, but that's because I want to do it and I enjoy building something. And now that we've got a sort of team underneath us, or family, to be honest, yeah, just a really, really, really humbling experience in many ways to be able to sort of grow something. And in many ways, I suppose you don't know what you don't know, but I would have obviously started this many, many years ago had I known this was a thing that was available. So yeah, I just thought I'd go through a few highlights from me in terms of best / favourite bookings. Not necessarily the biggest numbers, but just the ones that I sort of like the most. Our first service accommodation deal, which is the sort of picture on the bottom left you've got there. That was the first, management deal we took on for a lovely couple nearby in Newport. That property is a 3-bed ex-local authority flat top in Newport. So it's not a beauty by any means. However, that property was making the owners, during the height of lockdown, over £2,000 a month net a month. And just to give some context on that, they were making £600 a month on an AST. And the faith that they put in us and then for us to be able to deliver essentially for them those kind of returns is quite ridiculous. I mean, yeah, we had a fair few. I believe it was Polish contractors staying in there. They love the place. But yeah, we were able to make them really good returns by putting them in there. The next one we've got here is an SA management deal in the centre, really nice sort of detached property. And that's actually a sort of SA bounce sort of booking. So £5,000 for the investor for a 30-night booking, 39-night booking, which is pretty incredible. So that was the first booking that property got. So they sort of, again, invested with us, took our advice in terms of furnishing the place up and straight on the platforms. And I think that was an Airbnb one, that one. So straight out the gate, gross booking of over £6,000 for one property, which pretty ridiculous, to be honest. But yeah, again, sort of really good to be able to sort of give the investors that. And probably not one of our best bookings, but still one of my favourites. So I was, for some reason, had it in my head when I started service accommodation that one-bedroom apartments didn't work for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from, but I just had this really big stigma against it. And actually, at one point, we took on our own rent to service accommodation, one bed. And it's almost embarrassing to say now, but that's probably been one of our best-performing properties. I don't know what it is, but just month in, month out, we have people in there, and our outgoings are about £800 a month, and yet we normally gross around 1800, so consistently for a little one bed makes about £1,000 a month, which is quite surprising but quite awesome at the same time. So that's just a real brief snapshot of my journey, as it were, the quote unquote journey into serviced accommodation. And I just thought I'd share with you sort of what I've learned, sort of my advice, and then hopefully sort of be able to share some more information with you afterwards. But I've already hit on this to begin with, but stop not caring what people think, or at least caring less, I think, is an absolutely imperative thing. Because when I started sort of telling people, oh, I've got this idea, I'm going to go into business and do this, that, and the other, coming from a position where I've been working in the public sector for sort of 12 years, not had any business experience whatsoever, you can imagine a few people, in many regards, for the right reasons, sort of tried to protect me and say, you know what, Ben, be careful here, it's a bit of a risk, you could just go and get a well-paid job doing geeky stuff on a computer and that would be that. And it's not that I didn't sort of take that advice to heart, but equally I had to think, you know what, let's take a bit of a risk here, and touch wood, it's paid off. And sort of rolling into that was burning my bridges. So I put myself in a position where I had to replace my salary by a certain point. Otherwise, mortgage would have become difficult to pay, etc. I intentionally sort of didn't give myself a plan B and made the main thing the main thing. And that actually, in this regard, worked out. So maybe not saying be too rash, but try and put yourself in a bit of a position where you kind of have to make something work. And more often than not, I think you'll find a way. Get a business partner. May not work for all people, but for me, I found actually having somebody to work with to talk through the good times and the bad, which there are always going to be some of, was invaluable. Do something you're passionate about. For me, this isn't really a job now. I just love building a business. Sort of every day there's new problems, but equally there's new opportunities. We're not sort of chasing the money, but I think as a basic concept, we sort of try and build something that we're proud of and that's something that's good and offers real good value for our customers, for our investors, etc. As long as you sort of follow that premise, then the money follows itself naturally, I think. So that's kind of how we sort of look at that. Get yourself out there on social media and networking, obviously, I think is a massive one. That's probably one I'd sort of say today, is that transformed things for me. Some people would argue I probably post on Facebook too much, but I kind of have an opinion that if people aren't moaning about the amount you post, you're not doing it enough. So that's probably something I would say. Strive to be the best version of yourself, because that's something I didn't really bother. I didn't feel I was doing for significant portion of the beginning of my life, but actually in the last year or so, by really taking that to heart and becoming a bit of a self-confessed, self-improvement junkie, doing all the sort of cheesy bits and pieces, listening to your Tony Robbins and whatnot, and really trying to improve who I am, I think that in turn sort of allowed me to sort of build a business in the manner I have, just by trying to sort of be the best version of myself. And yeah, creating win-wins. I think somebody the other day asked me what my company's ethos was. And I'll be honest, I just blabbered rubbish for about 5 minutes because we didn't have one sort of written down on paper. But what I finally managed to distill it down to was creating win-wins. And I think that's what we try and do in our business. We try and create win-wins for the guests that stay. So good value, high quality accommodation. That's a bit cheaper than the hotels. That's the sort of angle. So that's a win-win for the guests. For investors, obviously a good return on their money, but with transparency and good communication. And yes, for our staff, the same thing as well. Just win-wins all round. If you sort of follow that sort of mandate, I think you can't go too far wrong. Here's a bit of advice actually I extracted from one of Mark Homer's books, which was hire great people before you can afford them. And yeah, it makes life pretty exciting every month now when sort of salaries go out, but the more people we've taken on, the more good quality people we've taken on, the quicker we've been able to scale. So I probably would have started hiring people quicker had I sort of known how sort of much of a game changer that would be. Next one, get educated, and it is the best investment. I mean, regardless of what happens now in the business, all the information and everything I've learned is still sat in my head. And I would not have been able to sort of do a lot of the things I had if I hadn't got educated. Coming from a military background, that's One thing they definitely sort of get quite right, depending on what job you're in, you could be training for 6 months to 2 years before they'll even let you loose in vaguely doing your profession. And I think there's a good reason for that, to be honest. So training and constant training, even after you've done a load. I mean, I personally, I'm going to continue doing training courses, this, that and the other continually, because you'll never know it all. But I think you should always look to continue improving. And yeah, make self-development the main thing. And take risks if you want real change, because you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something different if you want something different. So, yeah. In short, I sort of combined a little bit of service accommodation and, you know, life coaching and all that kind of stuff in there. So sorry for sort of probably banging on about that a bit much, but I hope that has been useful for some of you, and there's sort of been some tidbits in there that you'll find useful. I think I'm about good on time actually, which is good. I might have blabbered on a bit too much, so apologies for that. But I'd love to get in touch with you if you want to sort of get in touch. Easiest ways to find me are on Facebook. Just go on Facebook, I'll be there anyway. But if you do need to search for me, Ben the Brand, or feel free to email me at ben.brand@stabc.co.uk if you want to chat, and I'd be more than happy to. But yeah, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Serviced Accommodation Property Podcast. Why not also check out my website, www.propertysoldier.co.uk, where you can learn more about property and serviced accommodation.